Inshallah, a brief lesson of hadith will take place. Brothers, inshallah, participate will be beneficial. What is the hadith? Okay, so we should get to inshallah later. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم ما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد كما تحب وترضى عدد ما تحب وترضى يا كريم إن شاء الله we'll be making a start on the next chapter of رياض الصالحين we spent a few weeks discussing the chapter باب في تحريم الكبر والإعجاب the chapter in which Imam Nawawi رحمة الله عليه discusses that تكبر arrogance and ujb, showing off, all of this is haram and thinking of oneself to be very special. And all this started from the chapter where Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned the chapter. He said there's virtue and there's reward in mixing with people and staying with them and benefiting from them and benefiting them. But then he brings these chapters to show, however, if you're going to mix with the people and stay with the people, it's necessary to have these qualities inside of you so that you don't harm them and you are not harmed by them. You do not harm them, you don't have to physically try and harm them, but without even realizing you can harm them. And of course, physically you can harm them, verbally you can harm them, spiritually you can harm them. And how to avoid being harmed by them. One is someone physically harms me. Another is my iman and my deen is harmed by mixing with people because I don't know how to behave with people. I don't know how to control my anger. I don't know how to be humble. I don't know how to have tawadu. Every time I think of myself, I think of myself to be so special. So whenever I'm with other people, I need to have the loudest voice. I need to be heard. I need to be respected. I need to be loved. But when there's nobody there, then I don't have this fitna. I don't, you know, I've got nothing to worry about because I'm not being put to a test. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi mentions, look, it's essential ingredients you need to have. Firstly, tawadu. You have to think of yourself to be the lowest person in that room. The worst person in that room. The most worthless person in that room. You have to have that in you if you're going to mix with people. And secondly, he brings a chapter that you cannot have arrogance inside of yourself. That you think of others to be worse than you. You think of yourself to be better than others. You can't even have i'jab. I'jab is where, okay, I'm not going to look down on you, but I'm very special myself. I'm very talented. I'm very able. You can't even have that. That's also haram. Second point. And now the third chapter he brings here, Babu Husnil Khuluq. You have to have good akhlaq. If you don't know how to have good akhlaq, it's better for you to stay away from people. You're just going to harm them. You're just going to hurt them. You're just going to accumulate all of these bad deeds, all of these sins, and you won't even realize because your akhlaq are so terrible. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, here Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi starts this chapter by mentioning the ayat of the Quran, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الله تبارك وتعالى وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم وقال تعالى والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين صدق الله العظيم Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi brings ayat from the Quran. The first one is the description of the akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِنَّكَ Allah Ta'ala states in Surah سورة القلم وإنك indeed you O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم لعلى خلق عظيم are upon the greatest level of أخلاق. You are upon. The Arabic word على means on top of. على is on top. مفسرون say محدثون say العلى للاستيلاء. على means you've overcome something, you've dominated something. So you have mastered, you have gripped, you have controlled all the best of character inside of yourself. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And remember this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam having the best of character, best of akhlaq, is not something in and of himself, intrinsically. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam automatically had it. Rather in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, أَدَّبَنِي رَبِّي فَأَحْسَنَ تَأْدِيبِي. My Rabb did my tarbiyah. My Allah, He trained me. And He did my training in the best of ways. That if I want to develop good character, I go into the company of the pious people, I sit with them, I watch them, I benefit from them. Especially the pious people who follow in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to the dot, I don't even many times need to know the sunnah, I just need to look in their lives and I will see the sunnah. That's why the great muhaddith Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, 5,000 students would come to him in one sitting of hadith, when he'd been narrating hadith, there'd be 5,000 students. Only 500 would be writing hadith, 4,500 would be normal people sitting there watching him to learn from his akhlaq and character. Just watching him. How did he talk? How did he behave? How did he interact? They would just watch this. They didn't write any hadith down. So it's essential because a human being doesn't know. We don't know. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the hadith, بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمُ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I've been sent to perfect people's akhlaq. And another narration, similar wording, that I've been sent to complete people's akhlaq. The people we, Allah created us, sometimes you have some good parents who do your tarbiyah. Sometimes you might not be parents, you might be situations in life do your tarbiyah. Difficulties in life, hardships in life, being put in certain situations, your tarbiyah is divinely sometimes done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala looks after you, Allah ta'ala nurtures you, Allah ta'ala raises you. The Anbiya alayhimu salam, their tarbiyah, their rectification, their spiritual upbringing was done directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes you had a Nabi whose tarbiyah was done by another Nabi. Like in the case of Sayyidina Yusha' bin Nun with Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. He stayed in the company of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and his tarbiyah happened. His rectification. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam trained him and brought him up. That this is how you have to be, this is how you have to speak, this is how you have to... But tarbiyah is essential. And when a human being, tarbiyah has not been done to them, there's no difference in their character between that of animals. Just whatever comes to my mind, I have to say it. However, you know, whatever comes to my mind, I have to behave like that. I have to react like that. There's no control. There's no discipline. There's no discipline. So this tarbiyah has to be done. That's why people in the past would go to the pious people and they would sit with them, learn from them, tell them, I've got this problem, I've got this problem. The Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in. They'll go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, I've got this issue, I've got this issue. I don't know how to control my anger, I don't know how to do this. I have this urge, I have this desire. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Train me, make me a better person. Make me a perfect human being. But there has to be that desire there. Okay, I have weakness inside of me, kamzuri inside of me. I need my islah done. I need to be rectified. I need to be rectified. This rectification of the heart, of the nafs. Cleaning of all of the bad character is hard. And the older you are, the harder it is. Yeah? The older you are, the harder it is. That's why in Farsi they say, Jabal gardad jibillat na gardad. You can move a mountain, but you can't change someone's habit. Someone has a habit for many, many years of their life. You can move a mountain from its place, it's almost impossible to change this person's bad habit if they've had it for many years. So in the youth they can do it. Or if they have a great shauk, a desire to make, you know, dua to Allah Ta'ala earnestly, Ya Allah, I have very bad temper, I find it very hard to control. Ya Allah, I have this problem of stinginess. I have this problem of cowardice. I have this problem of, I don't have enough hope in you. I don't have enough fear of you. I don't have enough taqwa in you. All of these things, they cry, beseech, beg from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. They stay in the company of the pious people will tell them, do this, do this, do this, try this, try this, try this. And they make dua to Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala will help them. And inshaAllah, they will break out of this. They will develop the beautiful akhlaq. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is stating, وَإِنَّكَ and indeed you, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, are upon the loftiest, highest level of akhlaq, character. And then Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi brings another ayah. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ. The people who are beloved to Allah, close to Allah, are those, the believers, the mu'minun, are those who وَالْكَاظِمُونَ الْغَيْظَ, they control. كَظَمَ means to actually swallow. Some scholars mean it means kitman, to hide. They can hide their anger. So if they feel angry, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, those people who conceal their anger, they hide their anger. Anger is a natural urge inside of a person. Just like the urge to sleep, just like the urge to eat, the urge to go to the bathroom, anger is a natural urge that can come inside of a person. But these people, they master their anger, that they learn how to control it and hide it, that if someone angers them, the person won't even realize they have angered them. They control. Some scholars say, what is qazm? They say sukut. That you don't get nothing from that person. You get no reaction from that person. As much as you try to anger them, you get no reaction. You get silence. You get nothing. So this is qazmul ghayz. The scholars say this is the lower level, lowest level that every believer has to be at. That if the anger comes, you just control. Silent. You know, forcefulness. You know, and it's very difficult. And for some people, it's even more harder. Some people naturally. This akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala has scattered it through the ummah. Some people have something, some people have other. Someone is very generous, someone is very patient, someone is very forgiving, someone is very... Allah Ta'ala has scattered and distributed the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout the whole ummah. Different people have different, subhanallah, qualities. So some people find it easy. Some people are naturally more soft-spoken, more calm, more relaxed, more tolerant, more patient. Other people naturally get more fiery. We know this, even our friends, in our family, this person, you know, they're quick to get fired up. They're quick to get angry. They'll be the first to throw a punch. They'll be the first to push someone. It's natural. They can't control. They said, I feel like when I get angry, I don't even know what I'm doing. And you have people. When the anger calms down, then they look at the, you know, like the Hulk. You become like the Hulk. They look at the wreckage around them and they, oh, did I do all this? They can't even imagine they did this. Because when they become angry, they become a different person. And it does happen. Some people have this level of anger. But the minimum level every Muslim needs to try to have is qazmul ghayz, controlling the anger. The Prophet ﷺ mentions a few hadith about qazmul ghayz. Man qazama ghayzan, whoever can control their anger, swallows their anger. وَهُوَ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ أَن يُنْفِذَهُ, whereas he is able to take it out. One is, I'm not able to. Someone pushes me, I look around, it's a giant, okay. It's okay, I'll carry on walking, I won't say anything. It's a giant, I'm not going to say anything to him. And one is, someone pushes me, I see a small guy, why are you pushing me for? Okay? So, man kadhama ghaydhan, whoever controls their anger, whereas they are able to carry it out, you know, act according to its urges, da'ahu Allahu ala yawm al-qiyamati ala ru'usil khala'iq. Allah Ta'ala will call that person on the day of Qiyamah, in front of all of mankind. And he will say, choose from which of the hur of Jannah you want, you choose. One hadith. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, مَنْ كَظَمَ غَيْظًا وَهُوَ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يُنْفِذَهُ, whoever controls the anger, whereas they are able to carry it out, مَلَأَ اللَّهُ قَلْبَهُ أَمْنًا وَيَقِينًا, Allah Ta'ala will fill his heart with contentment and with yaqeen. Someone who makes this a habit, controlling anger, controlling anger, controlling anger. It's a very beloved quality to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِالسُّرْعَةِ, a strong person in the sight of Allah is not someone who can throw someone else to the ground, wrestle someone down. وَلَكِنَّ الشَّدِيدَ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ, however, the strong person in the sight of Allah is the one who can control his anger. Similar hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, السُّرْعَةُ كُلُّ السُّرْعَةِ, strength and the greatest of strength belongs to that person who, إِذَا غَضِبَ, when he becomes angry, his ihmarra wajhuhu, his face becomes red. Waqsha'irra sha'ruhu, and his hair stands on end. And he is so angry. However, what does he do with the anger? He controls his own anger with the anger. This is the strongest of people in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. That you know what is right. You know by controlling this anger, I will become beloved to my Allah. It's not easy. Very, very hard for some people, but it's something which is beloved and dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ulama discuss what to do if a person gets angry. First thing is to move away from the situation. We don't need to test ourselves. Oh, I'm very patient. Let him talk. I'm very patient. He's talking. I'm patient. He's talking more. I'm starting to get angry. He's talking, and then I'm going to shout at him. We don't need to test ourselves. We just need to stay away from Allah Ta'ala's disobedience.
If someone's making me angry and I know it's getting difficult, it's getting hot in the kitchen, let's go. Don't need to stay there. Don't need to listen. Don't need to get myself, you know, wound up. And then the Prophet ﷺ mentions so many remedies. If a person becomes angry, do wudu. Seek protection in Allah Ta'ala from shaitan. Shaitan enjoys it when a person becomes angry. Rather, he will stoke the fire to make you more angry. Anger can cause the greatest of things, murder. A person murders their own spouse, their own father. SubhanAllah, a few years ago, someone that we know, their own brother, who did everything for them in a moment, they were painting a house somewhere. Something happened, the elder brother said something, younger brother killed him, stabbed him. And it was just a madness, you know, madness. And the elder brother was a alim, and the younger brother was, I think, did some. Well, he just went crazy. And then afterwards, he was put in prison and he took his own life. What anger can do, and shaitan enjoys it, because the whole society, family, friendship, relationships can become absolutely annihilated by one person's anger. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, whoever feels the fire of anger, they should seek protection in Allah from shaitan. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan. Straight away, evaluate. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, when a person came into the gathering of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, made him very angry. Straight away a person, one of the Sahaba, he said, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Reminded him of the Qur'an, reminded him of Allah. Oh, Umar radiallahu anhu, Allah Ta'ala says in the Qur'an, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ, be forgiving. وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ, tell others to be good and forgiving. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ, ignore the jahil people. Ignore the ignorant ones. They're going to be ignorant, they're going to do silly things, ignore them. And as soon as Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu heard this, straight away he came back. Sayyidina Umar would get very angry. But as soon as he heard the ayat of Quran, the Sahabi, he says, وَكَانَ وَقَّافًا عِنْدَ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. As soon as he would hear the book of Allah, he would come back to his senses. He'd remind them, snap them out. So we need to snap ourselves out. Remind ourselves of Allah. SubhanAllah, in one hadith, beautiful hadith, I read, that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hadith Qudsi, Allah ta'ala says, Yabna Adam, O son of Adam, اذكرني إذا غضبت أذكرك إذا غضبت. O son of Adam, remember me. Allah Ta'ala says, remember me when you become angry, and I will remember you when I become angry. Remember me when you become angry, and I will remember you when I become angry. Meaning, when you become angry and you're about to take your anger out on someone else, remember me. Have my fear in your heart and stop. And therefore, when Allah Ta'ala, we are always inviting Allah's anger through our sins and disobedience. Allah is saying, when it's time for me to be angry, I will remember what you did, and I will not destroy you, I will not punish you. And I will not destroy you with the group of people that I destroy. Maybe you were with a group of people who made me angry, but I will remember that this servant of mine, every time he became angry, he forgave, so I will forgive you as well. Everybody else will get the adab. So it's very important, this controlling the anger. So Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And forgive people. So this is the second level. One is controlling the anger. I've controlled it, but that person in front of me did not realize that I was so angry, because I managed to, you know, control it, put a cover over it. And controlling means the person in front should not see any effect of anger on you. No effect. Sometimes anger is on a person's face. See? And remember, the Prophet ﷺ did get angry. But he would only get angry إِذَا انْتَهَكَتْ حُرْمَةُ اللَّهِ. If any of the tenets of deen were attacked, anything to do with Islam was attacked or affected, then the Prophet ﷺ would get angry, and he would become very angry. But personally, for his own sake, the Prophet ﷺ would never get angry. People could do whatever they wanted to. SubhanAllah, the stories of the Prophet ﷺ's patience are shocking. When we hear of Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the leader of the hypocrites, how the Prophet, you know, we hear this, you know, if you read the seerah, you know, there was a hypocrite in Medina Munawwara, and their leader, his name was Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. Everybody knows, if you read the seerah, we should all read the seerah like we had in seerah conference. What we do not know is how much this man did against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In broad daylight, he would come, he'd abuse the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he'd swear at him, he'd shout at him. He would sit in the gathering of the main meetings. And in those main meetings where everybody was sitting respectfully, listening to the Prophet ﷺ, like you have a pious person, a great person, and everybody's sitting there just listening quietly, Abdullah bin Ubay would be the most disrespectful. He would swear, he would shout, he would abuse, he would say so many things. Prophet ﷺ would always just put his head down and listen. So much patience. And he didn't do it once or twice. He did it every single day whenever he could. And when he passed away, when he died, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the clear munafiq, hypocrite, the head, Ra'sul Munafiqun, leader of all of the hypocrites, the Prophet, his son, who was an actual Sahabi, a pious man, he said, please, can you lead the janazah salah of my father, Ya Rasulullah? I hope that if you lead his janazah, maybe Allah Ta'ala will forgive him. And Prophet said, when to lead his janazah salah? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu stood in front of the Prophet saying, Ya Rasulullah, do you not remember what he did on that day? And what he did on that day and what he did on that occasion? Are you going to lead his janazah? The Prophet again, showing his beautiful patience, he listened to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. He knew that Umar is angry. But he's angry for the sake of Allah. Ya Rasulullah, how are you going to lead the salah of this munafiq, this hypocrite? And he said, oh Umar, Allah Ta'ala has given me a choice. Istaghfir lahum, aw la tastaghfir lahum. You can seek Allah's forgiveness for them, and if you want, you don't have to. Because they were clear munafiq. But then, after Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam led the janazah salah and he went, an ayah was revealed in the favor of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never ever lead the janazah of any of these hypocrites ever again. وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ. Don't even stand near their qabr. Don't even stand near their grave. إِنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. These people, they disbelieved in Allah and His Rasul, and they died in a state of fisq and major sin. So the ayah was revealed in favor of who? Sayyidina Umar. Sayyidina Umar stood in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, how are you going to lead his janazah? It doesn't make sense to me. He did this against Islam and against Allah and against you and against the Muslims. How are we going to? But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beautiful akhlaq. And subhanAllah, you just look and there'll be some examples mentioned. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beautiful akhlaq. والكاظمين الغيظ, those people who control their anger. والعافين عن الناس, and those who forgive the people. So one is controlling your anger, and secondly, forgiving the one who hurt you. Forgiving. Dil ko paak saaf rakhna, this is the most important thing. A person has no grudge, no hasad, no malice, no enmity. I was reading in Ihya Ulumuddin the other day. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, he talks about ghadab. And he talks about ghadab, anger, and what anger leads to. And he says so many things it leads to. Dangers of anger. It's a huge chapter. SubhanAllah, you read it and you think Imam Ghazali was an expert of understanding a human being's heart. One of the things anger leads to is hiqd. Hiqd. Hiqd is enmity. Hiqd is enmity. Sometimes the enmity can be against a non-Muslim, right? Or someone who's done something against Islam. Like if I hear, you know, these things on the news, someone's, na'udhu billah, you know, desecrated the Quran or desecrated a masjid or something. It should be this anger. How dare you? You know, defile. If it's happening in front of me, a Muslim should say, how dare you? How can you do this? You can't just say, oh, it's good character to stand there and watch while someone, I don't know, damages the Quran. Or it's good character to stand there and watch while someone mocks the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's not good akhlaq there. That's cowardice. That's jumn. Cowardice. I'm not saying do anything hasty, but I'm saying the qualities of Islam. So, which point was I making? Forgotten which point I was making. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, ghadab, anger, leads to hiqd. Hiqd is malice, hatred. And then hatred, hiqd, leads to another dangerous, dangerous disease, which is called hasad, jealousy. Hasad. And he talks about it, subhanAllah, when you read it, you think, Ya Allah. It's better to stay away from people, it's better not to get involved in any conversation, better not to get involved in any problem. Some people, we feel like we want to be involved in problems, family problems, this problem, I'll help you, I'll sort this, I'll sort that. And then what ends up happening is we don't sort things and we ourselves damage our own ruhaniyat, our own akhlaq get damaged, our own character gets damaged, we take lots of sin back home. So the second one is anger. Anger is there, it creates this hiqd, this resentment, this enmity. But from there a person moves on and وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and he can keep his heart clean and he forgives the people. Forgiveness means what? There is nothing left in the heart. The heart is clean. Forgiveness is not that whenever I see you, I'm going to behave funny with you. I'm still going to treat you a bit differently. Forgiveness means my heart is clean. Absolutely clean. And this is the famous story where a person came into the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 3 days in a row, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The person who comes into my gathering is a person of Jannah." And after the investigation was done, what did that person do? Every night before he went to sleep, he said, "Ya Allah, whoever has hurt me, harmed me, wronged me, Ya Allah, you are my witness, my heart is clean, I have forgiven everybody. I have no grudge in my heart against anyone, my heart is clean." Allah Ta'ala loves that heart. Because this is what we want from Allah. What we want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to forgive us, to overlook our mistakes, to love us. So why can we not be like that with other people as well? If I do the worst sin and still say, "Ya Allah, please forgive me, you know, I was just silly, I was just wrong, I was just, you know." So why can't we treat somebody else in that way? He was just being silly. He was just being foolish. Inshallah, he won't do it again. What's the point of me holding a grudge against this person? Yeah. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. And then Allah Ta'ala says, Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Allah Ta'ala loves those who do good to others. Allah Ta'ala loves ihsan, kindness, affection. Allah Ta'ala loves this quality. And this is all connected. Controlling your anger, forgiving people, and then on top of that, being good to them. If someone has hurt me, if someone is making me angry, controlling my anger is hard enough. And then controlling my anger and then forgiving the person is even harder. And then after forgiving the person, being extra kind to that person is the highest level. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Sayyidina Zainul Abidin Ali ibn Hussein rahmatullahi alayh, one of his maids, she was once bringing him the food. It's very hot, and accidentally she dropped it on him. She dropped it on him, and he's burning, you know, boiling, and naturally angry, you know. As soon as she saw signs of anger in him, she was very cautious, very clever. She said, "Wal kazimin al ghayz," and he straight away controlled his anger. There was no effect of anger on him; it was gone. It was gone straight away. As soon as she said, "Well," because anger can happen naturally, isn't it? Like you're driving, you know. I always talk about when we're driving, you have to control. But even when I'm driving, sometimes, "Pagalena, what is he doing? Why is he trying to go in? There's no space." You know, you get angry naturally. You're not even trying. You're not trying to harm the person, but you think, "What is this person doing?" So Sayyidina Zainul Abidin rahmatullah alayhi said, straight away she said, "Wal kazimin al ghayz," his anger disappeared. No more signs of anger. Then she was very clever. She said, "Wal afina anin nas," he said, "Afawtuka." You know, "Afawtuki," I've forgiven you. And then she said, "Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin," Allah loves people who do even more good. He said, "You're free." You know, you can go. You don't need to be in my service anymore. And she went. See? So she took advantage of this. She knew that as soon as I mentioned the ayat of the Quran, he will straight away do amal upon it. So we are ready to do amal upon these few things we've learnt. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, wa bihamdihi, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.